Thank you, Brother Stan. You may be seated. Well, we do want to say Happy Mother's Day to all the moms. You know, a teacher gave her class of second graders a lesson on magnets. And the next day, she gave them a written test on what they had studied. And so she asked them this question. She says, "What am I?" Says, "My full name has six letters. The first one is M, and I pick up things." Well, when she got the test papers turned back, they answered the question, "What am I?" 50% said that that was mom, mother. Well, picking up things is far off from what all a mom does. You know, the most creative job in the world involves fashion, decorating, recreation, education, transportation, psychology, romance, cuisine, literature, art, economics, government, pediatrics, geriatrics, entertainment, maintenance, purchasing, law, religion, energy, and management. Anyone who can handle all these has to be someone special. And she is. She's mom. That's just some of the things that moms do. But above all, there's something even higher and even more important that moms do. They raise their children. They influence them. A mother of faith is a powerful, powerful tool in God's hands. And that's what I'd like for us to look at this morning, is God's powerful instrument, a mother with faith. This morning we're going to take a look at an account in the book of Exodus. Exodus in the Old Testament. And in Exodus, the story is how Israel will leave and the bondage from Egypt. And at that time in the passage, we'll see Israel, when they first went into Egypt, had 75 people. At the time of our passage this morning, there was 603,000 males over 20 alone. They grew to be this powerful nation, still living in Egypt and under bondage. And King Pharaoh, he realized how powerful this group was becoming. And of course, to him, they were a threat. So he decides that he would deal, quote unquote, wisely with Israel. And so how he does it is he makes them slaves and he works them to death and he works them hard. He thought this would do it, but it didn't. They continue to multiply and grow. So then he decides, well, I'm going to get the midwives to kill the children. All the male children, I'm going to kill them off. I'm going to have the midwives kill them. Any males, they're to be killed. Well, the midwives, they feared God. So they didn't obey. Of course, Pharaoh wasn't happy about that. So he decides he's just going to make an edict. Just going to say, listen, any male Hebrew children are to be thrown in the Nile. It's his way of taking care of it. This is what's going to happen. You have a child, it's a male, it's in the Nile, it goes. And it was under these conditions, under this rule of law, that God is going to raise up a leader, a man who will lead Israel out of bondage, a man that will lead him to the promised land. That man, as we know, is Moses. Moses. But in preparing that man, God used a special lady. That lady was Moses' mom. Her name was Jochebed. I hope I said that right. If I don't, I'm sorry. I don't know how else to say it. She was a mother with faith in God. But what do I mean by faith? Well, I want us to just look real quick before we get into our passage in Exodus. Hebrews 11, 1 says this, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for, and certain of what we do not see." According to this verse, Faith is living in a hope that is so real that it gives absolute assurance. The promises given to the Old Testament saints were real to them, and they rested in them, and they acted on them because they were absolutely true in their minds. That's faith. But notice it also says that it is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. There's a conviction here. A conviction carries that same truth a little bit farther. It's an outward response to this inward faith. The person of faith lives his belief. Now, this is true for all of us. You know, it's amazing how many people say they believe in God, but they certainly don't live like they believe in God. Listen, if you have faith, it will make a difference in how you live. True? All right. Okay. I'm just kind of see this. Okay. Yes. And here's the thing. Faith will make a difference in how you parent. It will. It will make a difference in how you raise your children. And as we look at the example of Jehoshabed, I would like for us to see the difference that faith made in her life and how God used her as a powerful instrument to shape this leader. And the punchline is, you know what? God is using you moms today too, just like he did Jehoshabed. I invite you to open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 1 through 10, page 41 in your pew Bibles. Exodus chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, and we'll go through verse 10. And we're going to look at a mother with faith. A mother with faith. And the first thing we notice about this mother with faith is that her faith caused her to act. Her faith caused her to act. It prompted her actions that we see in this passage. So let's look, beginning in verse 1, it says, "Now a man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. And when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him." Well, the first thing we see here is that her faith prompted her to act. And despite Pharaoh's edict, Jehoshabed decided not to kill her son. Remember, all males, all Hebrew children, all those young boys, those boy infants, they were to go in the Nile. They were to be drowned. They were to be killed. And she says, "No, I am not going to do that." Now, it's true that a mother's natural inclination would be love, and it would be going the same way as her faith. She loved her child. She would not want to do any harm to her boy. So, yeah, she's going to protect her child. But I think when we look at this passage closely, we'll see that not only was her love driving her, but her faith drove her actions. Now, this was not her first child. Jehoshabed already has a daughter, as we see in the passage. And she has a son, too. Who was the son? Aaron, yes, and he's 3 years old. So Moses was not her first child, although it kind of seems like that in the passage. But they look at their child, and notice it says that verse says she became pregnant, gave birth to a son, and when she saw that he was a fine child. Now every mother looks at their kids and thinks they're a fine child, right? I know my mom did. There's no doubt about it. Amen. Yeah, you know, what mom doesn't love their child look at? It's the most beautiful thing in the world to them. And well, it should be. But, you know, there's something different in this description of how they looked at Moses. It really is interesting. In Acts 7:20, Stephen says that when they saw Moses, they saw that Moses was lovely in the sight of God. In Hebrews 11:23, both parents hid Moses because they saw he was no ordinary child. Now, we all say that about our children, absolutely. But there's something more going on here. It seems that in some way, Moses' parents realized that there was something special about their boy. That God had a special plan for him. I don't know how they knew that, but it just seems like they did. And their faith is going to prompt them to just totally disobey what Pharaoh was saying. And so in faith, Jochebed acted. She protected her son. Now, moms, I know you can all relate to this to some degree or another. Right? Parents in general protect their kids, yes? You always see the mama hen with all the little hens or chickens or whatever. I'm a city boy, you know, protecting, right? And you do that their whole life, really, but you when they're growing up, you do that. You watch what, you don't let them eat certain things. You watch where they play, right? You protect them. As they get older, you begin to monitor the influence of the world that they have on their lives. This is where the faith starts kicking in. Right? You start to monitor some of the things that they're hearing. You start to have those conversations about wise choosing of friends. Now, kids, understand this. Moms are doing this to protect you. And you may think, you know, we all know those arguments. But they're trying to protect you. That's what a mom does. Protects her children. So we can relate to what is going on in this passage. And Jochebed was doing just that. She was protecting her son. And so for 3 months, she hid him. But then something happened. She could not hide him any longer. Could not. And so what she did was she made a plan. So she made a wicker basket and put her son in it. And set him afloat in the Nile River near the royal bathing place. And she sent her daughter to see what would happen. Now, obviously, she's not abandoning her son. That's not what this is. She had a plan. She was hoping. She had faith that something good was going to turn out from this. And this is where I see the faith come in. I want to tell you that my first natural response would not be to throw my son in this very place where they're killing the boys in the Nile. I would be going the total opposite direction than the Nile. But she doesn't. I mean, technically, she is obeying Pharaoh's commands. She just threw her boy in the Nile. Of course, she protected him with a little ark. But she did what he commanded. And she set him afloat. Amazing. I think that was faith. She knew God's hand was in this. And her faith caused her to act. Moms, you act the same way. Your trust in God, your faith in God will cause you to do certain things. And well, it should. But this leads us to a second point, and that's this. Her faith helped her let go. Her faith helped her let go. I mean, she had the plan. She went to the Nile, and she let her boy go. But How hard would have that been? I mean, it takes faith to let go and trust God. It certainly does. Matthew Henry wrote, "Duty is ours, but events are God's." It's true. We do what we can. We plan and we work and we do what we can. But you know what? Sometimes there's only so much we can do. And guess what? You have to trust God. And it's so true with parenting. Jehochabed did all she could to protect her son, and now she just had to trust. It took considerable faith to place Moses, actually she didn't name him Moses, but place her child in that little boat and set him off in the Nile. She had no way of knowing what the outcome would be, but she did have faith in God. And God will do his work. And this is true for all parents. You know, think about it, the times when parents have to let go. I remember the first time we let Aaron and Lauren go to school. Right? They're out of your influence now. They're going, I don't know which is harder. Is it harder for the children or harder for the parents? To let them go. And now they're under the influence of somebody else and of their friends. You're not there to control things. You got to let go. Now here's a big one. When your child gets his first driver's license. If there's anything that'll cause a parent to pray, that is it. To this day, I ride with Aaron and I pray. Think about it. We let go. And then, of course, there comes a day when they leave the nest and they go and raise a family on their own. You know, faith helps us during those times. We do all that we can to prepare them. And then they go on their own and we let them go. Listen, faith helps us. Faith helps us in those times. And it did with Jehochabed. She let go of her son, and God took care of it. Let's look at verses 5 and 6. It says, "Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her slave girl to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. 'This is one of the Hebrew babies,' she said." Of all the people to find this baby was the daughter of Pharaoh. Now, that might be a little scary. I mean, what would she do? Would she obey dad? Well, in this situation, she didn't. And I think what we see is God's hand at work. I don't know if God pinched the baby to make him cry. But she heard Moses cry. And the Bible says that she felt sorry. The word sorry here is used in a sense of to spare or to have mercy on, where there's time to, in essence, to take a life, but you spared it. You didn't. You showed mercy. That's exactly what she did. That was exactly what she was feeling. She had compassion on this baby. This is God at work. I like what author Pink says about this. It says, "It was neither by chance nor accident that Pharaoh's daughter went down to the river that day. For there are no accidents nor chance happenings in a world presided over by the living God." I love that. That wasn't an accident. That was God's plan. How awesome is that? And this is why we can act with faith. And this account is a great picture of acting by faith. Jehochabed did not sink into despair and do nothing. Nor did she just passively sit around and say, okay, God's going to take care of this. She did what she could do, and then she trusted God. And in Scripture, we see this principle over and over again about our walk of faith. We do what we're to do, and God does what he will do. It's both. A lot of times we used to say, let go and let God. And I know what we mean by that. There are just sometimes you just got to let God take control. But I want to tell you that the Christian walk is not a passive thing. We are to live it. We are to do. We are to work. And God works in and through us. It's both. It's not either or. It's both. It's an and both situation. Look at the way it Hebrews describes this event. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, they did what they could do and then they trusted God. By faith. As I said in the beginning, our faith prompts us to act. And our faith in God helps us to trust in times that we've done all we can do and now we just trust God. In parenting, that's exactly what it is. We do our best to raise our children under the admonition of the Lord, and then we trust God. That's our job. That's what we're to do. But that's an active part on our end. You can't just passively sit and think God's going to do his thing. Parents, you're to parent. Amen? And that's an active teaching of the word. We're to do our end. God will do his. Well, notice, we've seen now so far that her faith caused her act, her faith helped her let go, and her faith was rewarded. Her faith was rewarded. God bless Jehochabed, and her faith was rewarded. In verses 7 to 10, notice what it says. It goes on and it says, then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you? Yes, go, she answered. And the children went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you. So the woman took the baby and nursed him. And when the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, I drew him out of the water. Pharaoh's daughter realized that this was a Hebrew child. Now, it's interesting, this isn't in my notes, but when I was studying this week, Josephus says, the Jewish historian, that other Egyptian ladies were trying to nurse Moses, and he just wouldn't have any of it. And isn't it amazing, though, how God's timing is? At just the right time, Miriam, which is Moses' sister, comes to Pharaoh's daughter and says, hey, would you like for me to get a Hebrew mother to nurse? Oh, the timing is great. If her words were not according to the careful plan and instruction of her mother, then her inward prompting must have come from God. Not a moment too soon and not a moment too late. With not too many words or too few, she said exactly what needed to be said at the right time. Wow, what a great story. And so what happened? Pharaoh's daughter says, yes. And who does she go get? Her mom. What a great story of God's providence. Of God's hand at work. Her mom was able to take care of her son. And guess what? At the same time, get paid for it. What a deal. What a deal. That's God's hand at work. God blessed her. And she was able to raise her son. And after Moses grew, Jehochabed had to once again let her son go. And once again, I believe that this God's faith, the faith that she had in God, helped her to let him go, because she knew God had a plan for her son. Pharaoh's daughter adopted this young boy and named him Moses. This is so according to God's plan. God was placing Moses in a place where he could be prepared to lead his people out of Egypt. But God used a faithful mother to get him to that place. And through it all, Moses' mother's influence was there in his life. She made a difference, a lasting difference in him. So much so, look at this passage in Hebrews. It says, by faith, Moses, when he had grown up and refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter, he chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. His mom's influence carried on through his life to the point that he refused to be called Pharaoh's daughter's son. That's mom. Mom at work. Listen, moms, your influence lasts a lifetime. It makes a difference. It did with Moses, his mom, and him. It does with you and your children. You make a difference. God used this mother with faith to prepare his servant to lead his people. Well, let's wrap this up. A little girl was shown pictures of her mom and dad on their wedding day. She asked her father, "Daddy, is that the day you got mom to come and work for us?" Moms, we know how much you do, and we appreciate you. We want you to know that. And today is your day that we try to show that in a little way. And what you do, though, is far greater than doing the laundry and picking up toys. You are molding children. A Jewish proverb states, God could not be everywhere, and so he made mothers. Well, we know that God is everywhere, but God uses moms in a mighty way. They are God's instruments to shape people of faith. That's what you do. Nothing greater can be done than that. I love this quote from a mom. I kind of chuckled at this one. There was a wife of a professor in the University, I think, of Pennsylvania. And she was a stay-at-home mom. And so she would go to these, you know, big functions at the university, and the husbands and wives would come. And so whenever she'd go, she'd be asked, well, what do you do for a living? And, you know, and she's up there with all these highly educated women. And so this is what she said. This is her definition of her job. I am socializing two Homo sapiens and the dominant values of the Judeo-Christian tradition in order that they might be instruments for the transformation of the social order into the theological to prescribe utopia inherent in this eschaton. There you go. It takes a degree to say that one. That was her definition. And of course, at that point, even the lawyers didn't know what to say. I'm just a lawyer, you know? Your job is so valuable. So valuable. You make such a difference. Lauren Sanney of the Navigators once wrote of his mother, "My mother gave birth to me in a frontier house on a Midwestern prairie. On the kitchen counter, she placed a list of the ingredients necessary for my formula. At the top of the list was prayer, and that remained at the top of her list for me throughout her life. I have her to thank for firmly establishing my spiritual roots. And so it is. Moms of faith, you make a difference in your lives, in the kids, your lives of your children. You show them what faith is. There's nothing greater that you can do for them than that. I can give you example after example of the difference that moms have made in the lives of their children. So let me encourage you, moms, this morning. God is using you in a great work. And I don't think it ends even when your kids are out of the house. God is using you in a great work. You are shaping and you are molding these precious lives. So let me encourage you, parent by and parent with faith in God. Do what we are called to do. Notice what the Bible says. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. I encourage you, do that. Keep God in the forefront. Let them see your commitment to him. Let them see your commitment to his church, to his mission, to his purposes. Show your kids that. Show them that you love them, but also show them that you'll sacrifice for God so they can see what that is. Show your kids this. Do what God has called us to do. In Ephesians, this is said to fathers, but it's true with mothers. Do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. That's what we are called to do as parents. Moms, that's what you're called to do as a mom. Do all you can, and then trust God for the results. Trust him. Your kids are in his sovereign hands. Trust him. Trust him. There is no greater work than you can do than parent with faith. So today we celebrate our moms. We thank them for all that we do. But each one of us, let's take time to thank God for our moms that they've made in our lives. Amen? Amen. Take time to thank him for that. And many of you had the privilege, like I did, of having moms of faith who were able to show what faith looks like. Thank them and thank God for them. Moms, today, you do a great work. Keep up the good work. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we've had this time to look at this great example of a mom who parented and lived by faith. It is a great picture of a woman of faith and how it's expressed in parenting. And Father, in it, we also see your hand at work. Now, Father, that even though none of us are perfect parents, we know that you're a great God. And even when we fail at times, Father, you're there. And you are leading and you are working in a mighty way. And so we trust you, Father, in all that we do. Father, I take time this morning to thank you once again for our moms of our assembly here and the moms that are with us this morning, that you would bless their lives. We thank you for their influence. We thank you for their hard work. We just thank you for them. And we ask your blessings on them this morning. And I pray that for us that had parents of faith, we thank you for our moms and the example that they've shown us. Father, it's always our prayer that in everything we do and say that we bring you honor and glory. And so, Father, it is with thanks that we, thanks to you for them. We acknowledge that our moms are a special gift from your hand. So bless them. And help us, Father, in all that we do and say. Forgive us where we fail you. We give you praise. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing. You know, it's an interesting sermon. Today we celebrate moms. Maybe mom, today you've just got some things on your heart you need to share with God. Listen, the altar's open. Maybe you need to thank God for your mom. That's a great thing. Hey, come down here. The altar's open. Maybe you just need to say, God, I want to be a better mom. This altar's open. Come speak. But let me say one other thing. Maybe we need to be good kids so that we would be good, give our moms honor and praise, right? You know, maybe that's our prayer this morning, is help us be good kids so that we would be a good reflection and bring joy to our moms. Whatever your need is, as we say.